Morning and Evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. October 2nd, Morning. The Hope of Heaven. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Our hope in Christ for the future is the mainspring and mainstay of our joy here. It will enliven our hearts to think about heaven, because everything we could possibly desire is there. Here we are weary and toil-worn, but in the land of rest, fatigue will be banished forever, and sweat will never moisten our brow. To you who are weary and exhausted, the word rest is full of heaven. Here we are always struggling. We are so tempted within and so attacked by foes without that we have little or no peace. But in heaven, we will enjoy the victory, for the banner will be waved in triumph and the sword will be put away. We will hear our captain say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We have suffered sorrow after sorrow, but we are going to the land of the immortal where death is unknown. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 4. Here sin is an ongoing grief, but there we will be perfectly holy. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, 27. Through the Spirit of God, the hope of heaven is the most powerful force for producing virtue in us. It is a fountain of joyous effort. It is the cornerstone of cheerful holiness. The person who has this hope goes to work with vigor, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You fight temptation with intensity, for the hope of heaven quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You can work without a present reward because you look for a reward in the world to come. October 2nd, Evening. Greatly loved. A man greatly beloved. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. Child of God, do you hesitate to appropriate this title? Has unbelief made you forget that you are greatly loved? You must have been greatly loved to have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When God sacrificed his only begotten Son, you were greatly loved. You lived in sin and indulged in it. You have to be greatly loved for God to have been so patient with you. You were called by grace, led to the Savior, and made a child of God and heir of heaven. All this proves a very great and abounding love. Since that time, whether your path has been rough with troubles or smooth with mercies, you have total proof that you are greatly loved. For if the Lord has chastened you, it has not been in anger. And if he has made you poor, in grace he has made you rich. The more unworthy you feel, the more evidence you have that nothing but unspeakable love could have given you the Lord Jesus. The less self-esteem you feel, the clearer the display of God's abounding love in choosing you, calling you, and making you an heir of heaven. Since there is such love between God and us, let us live in the influence and pleasantness of it. Let us use the privilege of our position. Let us not approach our Lord as though we were strangers or as if he were unwilling to hear us, for we are greatly loved by our loving Father, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Come boldly, believer, for despite Satan's whisperings and your own doubting heart, you are greatly loved. Meditate on the exceeding greatness and faithfulness of divine love this evening, and go to bed in peace.